Resources Corporate Secretary, Mr. Michael Kuda. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second quarter 2008 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources LTD on Tuesday, July 29, 2008. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Q2 2008 Amerigo Resources conference call. I'd like to introduce you to the participants, firstly my partner Klaus Zeitler, and you'll be hearing from Klaus shortly on operating matters and operating performance as well as capital projects, and in particular also on power costs. Also joining us is Aurora Davidson, our CFO, and we've already introduced our corporate secretary, Mr. Michael Kuda. Before I start, I also want to apologize for my inability to attend the Q1 conference call. Unfortunately, I had to attend a medical emergency for members of my family in Australia, and that precluded me from joining the call last quarter. In respect to Q2 2008, I'm very pleased to report that cash flow from operations during what was a fairly tough operating period, particularly due to power costs, was $8.1 million in the quarter. And despite interruptions to our tailings supply, our fresh tailings supply, due to strike action by workers at El Teniente, and despite the record power costs from the electricity grid in Chile during the quarter, we managed to generate earnings of $6.2 million in the quarter. I'd like to also note that despite all of those operating difficulties, including those high power costs, which have really impacted our bottom line and increased our operating costs significantly, whilst we do share those same costs with a number of other industrial users, including other copper producers in Chile, we, by virtue of the nature of our operations, are impacted to a much greater degree than traditional copper producers in Chile. So our challenge to maintain sound levels of earnings and profitability is even greater. But notwithstanding that, in the 6 months, that was the half year to June 30, 2008, our cumulative earnings reported to date is $12.6 million, not too much lower than the $15.8 million that we derived in the same half period, or half year, in 2007. On the back of that earnings result and profit performance, the board decided to declare and maintain its dividend level of 6.5 cents Canadian per share. And that was announced last Friday, which translates to a very, very strong yield against our current share price. We're going to report a little bit today on operating statistics, in particular the power costs, and I will hand the call over to Klaus, our president and director, to discuss that in greater detail shortly, and also the operating performance, and also the progress we've been making on becoming substantially energy independent with the construction of our power generating facility at our NDC plant site. So I won't talk to those things. Klaus will elaborate on them to a greater degree. I will report though that our cash balance at quarter end was almost $11.2 million, and I think that number needs to be considered in the context of having spent in that quarter $12.5 million on capital projects. The large proportion of that, of course, was the generating project. And $6 million, this is a little over $6 million in dividend payments, and an increase in our strategic investment in Candente Resources of a little over $2.1 million. So I guess the message that we'd like to convey there is that notwithstanding the challenges we have at the operating level, particularly on the power cost front, we maintain a strong level of capacity to invest in the MVC project and its affiliated projects like the power plant, as well as maintain a strong level of return to our shareholders from dividends and also to diversify our business base through strategic investment and alliance with Candente Resources. I'll hand the call over now to Klaus, and at the end of Klaus's report, we will revert to the operator, who will then invite questions, and we'll be pleased to respond to those questions as best we can. Klaus.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, as Stephen said, you know, we had difficult operating conditions during the second quarter with the strike action, and this influenced our production, particularly in April and May, where we basically only had about a 60% availability of tailings due to the interruptions of the production at El Teniente. So our production during April and May was very low. We then returned in June basically to our budget production. And the results, of course, then immediately showed. So that explains the reduction in our production from the first quarter to the 7.08 million pounds and the 147,000 pounds of molybdenum in the second quarter. One of the reasons that we still show a pretty decent earnings situation despite these problems was that the power costs, which were extremely, extremely high in the first quarter, somehow got better in the second quarter, and particularly much better in June again. So we had then in tune this double effect of increasing production and much lower power costs. The power costs continued to be high, but still at much lower levels than we had in the first quarter. They are approximately half of what we reported in the first quarter. With respect to our investments, we are making now good progress with the checking and the refurbishing of the diesel generators. Both motors have arrived at the plant, and as we speak, they are being checked and parts are being exchanged, so that we have motors which we can rely on once we turn them on. We expect them to be operational sometime in the fourth quarter. We do know exactly what we have to replace in the first motor, so the first motor will definitely be available. The second motor, we are just starting to investigate what has to be replaced, and bearing no surprises, if it is in more or less the same condition as the first one, which it should be, then that one should also become available in the fourth quarter. We are also making good progress with other important investments during the year. By the end of the year, we will have our last mill refurbishing done. We are making good progress on a regrinding project, which will come into operation sometime during the third quarter, and some other smaller projects which will also help improve our operations. I think that's about all I have to say, and if we can then turn over to questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. You may press star one to ask a question, and you may press the pound sign to cancel your question. So please press star one at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from John Tumazos of New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Hello, Claes. Congratulations on the $0.065 dividend and the accomplishments. Are you able to disclose the tons that you mill? I notice in your page five exhibit, you go through the pounds, but not tons, grade, and recovery.
Yeah, we haven't done that in the past. I mean, there's no magic to it, but as I said, in June, we basically got budget numbers, which means that we received about 130,000 tons per day from El Teniente.
Of fresh tailings.
Of fresh tailings, yes.
So if the copper production and the moly production fell by the mid-20s, there was a drop in grade in addition to a drop in tons?
I didn't understand that. If
the copper production was down 24% and the moly production was down 28% and you got the budgeted tonnages, was there some difference in grade?
No. As I said, in April and in May, we received only about 60% of tailings, and only in June we were back to...
Oh, so what you're saying is that the El Teniente's difficulties were corrected in June, and now things are normal.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Excuse
so only April and May were the... where the times where the strike action took place.
So that I don't want to put words into your mouth, but if things are normal, should we expect the third quarter of 08? I'm looking at the year ago. The second and fourth quarters last year were 4.2 and 4.3 million pounds, where the third quarter was less. Where should we expect the output to be in the September quarter for Amerigo?
I would certainly think higher than in the second quarter.
Thank you, Klaus.
Thank you. Our next question is from Alan Arnold from New Orleans. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Follow up on the similar question. I don't have the background information that others may have, but my concern is that the projections for the goal of the company is 60 million pounds per year in copper. I know all the various things that can go wrong, but I guess is what needs to go right for you all to be able to hit that goal, even though I'm not asking for a timeline.
Yeah, that's easy to answer. What has to go right is full production, full delivery of tailings, fresh tailings from El Teniente, plus our reaching our goal of 45,000 tons, which we have contractually negotiated with El Teniente from the old tailings per day, 45,000 tons per day from the old tailings, and being in an area of the old tailings where we get normal recoveries. As I have explained in the past, at startup, which we have done, we have to extract the tailings from the top, and the tailings on the top are more oxidized than the tailings which are sitting below. So the deeper you go in these tailings, you improve your recovery and you decrease the amount of copper which is in the form of oxide in the tailings.
Okay, I understand that. Then your statement is 130,000 tons per day is budget. Is that budget that will allow for the portion from El Teniente to allow you to get to the 60 million, or would you be budgeting higher in the future as you expect more tailings per day due to some change in El Teniente's operation?
No, that is based on the normal present operation of El Teniente.
So if you hit 130,000 tons per day, based upon the quality of the production that you produce the copper from without any changes, then that should be part of your target of the 60 million pounds, and then the remainder is from the old tailings. And you need the 45,000 tons, I believe you said, per day, and you need to get deeper into the pond to produce a higher caliber of percentage copper. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So then if I were to say that you're on target for the 130,000 tons per day, then in a quarter, in one quarter with nothing coming from the old tailings, then you ought to be doing a substantially higher amount that you're doing even today when you include the new tailings into the production.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and we haven't, because as I explained, in April and May, we're operating at about 60% of the time, because the other 40% we didn't get any tailings.
I understand that, but again, I'm doing just simple arithmetic here, nothing fancy, I'm not an engineer, but to get to 60 million pounds, you got to do 15 a quarter, and I haven't seen anything higher than 9 going back, and that's the assumption that the 130 is all you expect on a per-day basis of tons, so you have to assume that you've hardly ever been at the 130. Per day, there's been interruption since the beginning of the operation. Because even without the old tailings, you should be doing substantially higher if the goal is to reach 15 million a quarter.
No. We need to do from the old tailings to reach the 60 million pounds. We need to do about 14,000 tons per year from the fresh tailings, which is about 32 million pounds from the old tailings, from the fresh tailings.
Excuse me. So in other words, from the fresh tailings, the net production of copper at 130,000 tons per day would be 32 million pounds.
Approximately that, yes. Of course, it differs a little bit with grades going sometimes higher and sometimes lower.
You have to get, and to reach 60, you need to get 28 million pounds from the 45,000 per day from the old tailings.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So how do I go about watching what you're doing to know when something is going right? I mean, you don't report the mixture of what you're getting that I can make a determination. Maybe others have that, but I'm well aware and prepared to take the problems that you have interruption from El Teniente for any number of reasons, nature or otherwise, or labor, so on and so forth. But I can't determine what you're getting from the fresh from the old tailings yet to add to it.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point that you mentioned, and we may consider. We'll think about that, whether we can report production from old and from fresh tailings in the future.
Well, just for your, and I'll close with the fact that, I purchased this and so forth with it, looking very strongly at the statement of the 60 million pounds being more than a goal. It was actually a target by the end of 07, which you've changed to a goal. And I'm just now really trying to figure out how you can produce that. And if you're getting the 130,000 tons per day, that's your budget, you expect no more, then I would expect a very substantial third quarter if you continue to get the 130 per day, because if you divide 32 by 4, then that's almost 8 or 9 just from that production alone without anything coming from the old tailings. So I'm just want to be convinced that the target is realistic, and because I think if investors believe it's realistic, and the copper price stays where it's been trying to stay, then the future looks very bright. If it continues to fall short all the time for whatever reasons, you have to begin to believe that the reasons are permanent. It's always going to fall short.
But you have to, what I said is we have to be in an area of the old tailings where we get at least normal recoveries, and we have a situation where the oxidized material has been reduced in these old tailings to normal oxidation levels.
Well, I understand
so,
that.
So that
would
is not going, I can tell you that. That is not going to happen by the end of this year.
Okay, I'm not asking for a timeline. I just want to make sure it is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, as an investor on the outside, not having the technical knowledge of the mining industry, I think some kind of progress would be helpful, no matter, and then you could always say, however, we had all these other problems that happened. That's
right.
Acceptable, but I want to see progress, or I'm beginning to be concerned the target can't be reached.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good suggestion, and we'll consider that for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Stephen Autrich of Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I just want to follow on from that last call. I just want to understand this. You're doing 130,000 tons of fresh tailings and 45,000 tons of the Kolwezi tailings every day. Now, is that right?
No, we are not doing 45. That is our contractual right to do, but we are not there. We still need some work to do in order to get there. And one is that we have to receive the high pressure pumps, which is a very, very specialized pump. To produce the high pressure, which will, in a much more optimal way, produce these old tailings than what we are doing right now. We are right now only at a rate of approximately 12,000 tons of these old tailings, so we are far from the 45,000.
Okay, yeah, so like the prior fellow, it'd be nice, I think, to see these numbers reflected in the quarterly reports as they come along. Another question for you is, has El Teniente itself gotten more efficient in extracting metal?
No, there has been basically no change since we have taken over this operation, since Amerigo has taken over that operation in 93. Of course, every year and every month, tailings grades go up, go down, tailings qualities change. Sometimes they are coarser, sometimes they are finer, sometimes they are more oxidized, sometimes they are less oxidized, but we have not seen any trend.
Just to correct, you said 93, we took it over in 2003.
2003, sorry.
And I think that the point that I suspect your question is headed is there a risk that Teniente will recover more copper and leave less copper for us to recover? And that's one of the most common questions we get at this company. The reality is, at higher levels of recovery, whilst they are technically possible, they are not economically optimal. And the reason for that is that companies and projects like El Teniente, which has got a very long mine life, they are better off to put more material through the plant than increase recovery. And you require the same amount, you require additional amount of plant and equipment to recover more copper, but they're better off to use that extra capacity to recover, to process more ore than increase recoveries by 1 or 2 or 3%. And that's not just a Teniente phenomena. That 89 and 90% recovery is pretty well industry standard across all large copper projects in the industry worldwide.
Yeah, no, okay, I understand. I just wonder if they have been tweaking the system at all along the way. The other thing is, you're saying you've got these oxides. Are the oxides just lost? That they're just going down to the new tailings down the mountain?
Yeah.
Okay. The final question.
And they are too low in grade to do anything about it.
Okay. And the final question is, what is the outlook for power prices for the balance of the year?
If I would know, the only thing I can say, last week it has rained heavily again. Now there is sunshine.
The reservoirs are filling up, but they are still below normal levels due to this huge drought they had last year. But you know, things are certainly looking better, and I think, you know, in comparison to four months ago or 5 months ago, where the whole country was in the crisis mood, where nobody knew whether the lights will not go out the next day, things have certainly changed dramatically from that.
Okay, so we should probably just look for what you've got here in Q2 would be a reasonable way to look at it for the next 6 months. And then you'll have your own power if you need it.
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, oil price is a continuing factor, and you can watch that as well as we can.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay, then, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Wayne Atwell of Greenwich. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, thank you. Could you give us an update on your investments? I know you have several investments. Could you give us an update on the progress there and the outlook?
Well, we have an investment in Candente and an investment in Los Andes. Both are companies which sit on significant copper resources. Candente has published its 43-101 resource and is in the process of doing a feasibility study on the Cañariaco project in Peru. Los Andes has also now, just last week, published its 43-101 resource and is engaging into a scoping study at this point. So, you know, that's where the status is. Both resources are in the neighborhood of about 1 billion tons with grades which are around 0.45 to 0.5% copper or copper equivalent. So, you know, projects which are considered today to be the next generation of copper projects, if we believe that future copper demand is larger than today, then these kind of projects will be needed.
Are you thinking that you'll try to shepherd these into production, or do you think these will be purchased by a tech or a Xstrata type company?
Perhaps if by way of further elaboration, the rationale for the investment is that Amerigo does not, as a matter of practice or policy, invest in exploration directly. We are fortunate to have good cash flows from our MVC operation. And our strategy is to identify advanced projects that are in the scoping study or pre-feasibility stage, and then bring our own expertise and assistance where possible to the existing management teams to do what good mining management do, and that is to de-risk those projects from the perspective of technical, financial, and development risks. And that de-risking process adds to the value of those projects. We don't have any fixed view as to whether we want to develop them ourselves in partnership with other large companies. We believe by adding value, that will benefit and give accretive value to Amerigo shareholders. Of course, the decision to sell, to joint venture, et cetera, would be that of the boards of the companies in which we've invested. But clearly the flexibility flexibility and the options that are available to those companies are still open in both Los Andes and Candente's case.
Okay, well, thank you for the explanation. Can you give us your actual power cost per kilowatt hour, and what's your thought in terms of what your power cost would be once you install your own generators?
Well, that will depend on the oil price. So, you know.
Well, let's assume today's oil price.
Today's oil price, I guess, $130. We should be at about 13 to 14 cents.
And what are you now? What, 18 or 20?
We were at 24 in the second quarter, and the last month in the second quarter was 18 or 19, and that's where we are about right now.
Okay. And your capacity is 60 million pounds of copper, and how much moly? A million tons or a million pounds?
Well, the capacity of the plant is big. We don't exactly know what our capacity of our molybdenum plant is, but we do know that it's much bigger than what we are producing and what we expect to produce, due to the fact that, you may recall, if you were a shareholder, about 2 years ago, we were receiving copper molybdenum concentrates from Chuquicamata, which were substandard concentrates, and we were putting these substandard concentrates through our moly plant and produced standard moly concentrates. So we know that we have a big capacity in our plant. So how much we will produce depends on the amount of moly in the tailings, and that changes very significantly. There's a very high volatility of moly grade in the tailings, to the tune of sometimes 100% from 1 month to the next. So it will depend on how much moly is in the tailings content.
Okay. Do you have an estimate of what your copper production might be in 09? I realize there's a lot of variables, you know, El Teniente's schedule, and weather and power and such, but do you have an estimate of what your volume might be in 2009 and 2010 for copper?
Not really, and one of the reasons, you know, why we don't like to give these numbers is because we are so much dependent on El Teniente, and we have been bitten in the past by making projections and then not, you know, living up to it, not because of our fault, but just because of what the situation is, that we depend on El Teniente. So, no, I mean, I certainly hope that we will produce more in 2009 than in 2008, but, you know, I really don't want to give a number.
Well, let me present it this way. If El Teniente operated at capacity and they didn't have any strikes or shortfalls or power issues, what do you have a thought then what 09 volume might be?
If there's absolutely no hiccup in El Teniente and we continue to produce from the old tailings, we should be certainly at the 20,000 level.
20,000 tons
of copper.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from David Shapiro from Arlington. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to go over and I missed the very beginning of the call, exactly what caused the initial estimates on the power generation project to go from about $10 million, which I think was the our preliminary estimates for the cost, to now closer to $20 million.
Well, we gave the reasons in the MD&A of our press release. I just want to repeat a few things. And, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with construction projects in the mining area. And I can give you, you know, various examples. But in our MD&A, we are saying, for instance, this year alone, from January to June, steel prices in Chile have increased by 82%. We also give the other reasons. You know, transportation costs, shipping rates have gone, you know, incredibly high. We had problems on land transport, which you can say, well, you know, you should have investigated that first, but we couldn't because we wanted to get these generators as fast as possible. And when we bought the generators, when we had to make a decision to buy them, otherwise they would have been sold to Indonesia, we did not foresee that we will have to support bridges, widen roads in order to transport these, not the generators, but the motors to the sites. These motors weigh each one 200 tons. Roads in Chile are governed by municipalities. Some municipalities allowed our trailer, which had 126 tires, to cross bridges because we were able to convince them that the load of the 200 tons is spread over the whole trailer, and therefore the actual load on the bridge is only 70 tons, and the bridges were good for 70 tons. Other municipalities didn't buy it, and we had to support the bridges in order to be able to cross them. So, you know, that's another example. Third example is that we wanted to save costs, and we wanted to install these motors on a flat concrete bed. When we discussed it with MAN, the good German engineering company who is producing these monsters, they absolutely refused to give us any comfort that these machines will work if we don't put significant foundations in. So all these various things have contributed, but the main thing is that costs are just spiraling out of of what has been experienced in the past.
Okay, that's helpful. And I only mention this because this is, we take a look at some of your other projects, like the pressure pumps, which I think you put a $5 million-ish price tag on, and some of these other refurbishment projects. I'm trying to get a sense on what some of these projects cost altogether and how they're going to affect your results, because when I strip out the power costs from the first quarter, I get something like $6 million of non-power costs included in production, and maybe this quarter something in excess of $7 million when you strip out the power costs. So, you know, I'm just trying to understand why I guess the other costs are starting to creep up here and have been creeping up over the last year, and what the payoff from some of these other projects is going to be to maybe help reduce some of these other costs.
Sorry, were you talking about operating costs or investment costs?
No, I'm just talking about the production costs, and you know, just basically taking your uh, just just basically taking the income statement line, the copper and moly production costs?
Right. Well, I mean, power, as you know, is the most significant cost in our operations, with about right now 60 to 70%. The next most important factor is steel. And I think everybody knows I was just mentioning, this year alone, steel, you know, product prices have gone up 82% down there. That is the next most important cost element, steel, because we need balls for the mills. That may be partly the answer you are looking for. All the other costs are relatively benign, with the exception that also the currency has strengthened significantly, as almost all currencies against the U.S. dollar. So that has an effect also on the cost.
I think the other factor that I would add to Carl's comments too, it sounds like you're looking for a lowering of operating costs from some of these capital projects.
Outside of the power costs, which are obviously outside of your control.
But I think they are. And just to be clear, we are spending significant amounts on capital, and you're right to raise that question. But firstly, the last two major capital projects, the last most recent being the power generation facility, is really twofold. One, 5-6 months ago, we were hearing that there would be brownouts in Chile, like there is in other parts of the world, in South Africa, in Zambia, in Congo, China, etc., where metal is being produced. We had to make a decision as a board to make an investment or not in our own power generating facilities in that environment. And it was very clear to us that if there was, in fact, brownouts, the cost, not just the opportunity cost, but the actual cost of a brownout would be way in excess of the sort of costs that we would be incurring in building our own generating facilities. Firstly. Secondly, there is a simple payback in terms of the 5 or 10, depending on what the grid power costs, the 5 or 10 cent per kilowatt hour savings we would make, assuming a certain oil price, we would make from operating those facilities. So really it was a defensive investment, the power generating facilities, rather than something that will reduce our costs. The other major capital project we invested in the last 2 years was the thickeners. And once again, they were not, that investment was not made specifically for operating cost reduction, but in fact to comply with environmental rules and our contract with El Teniente. Under the new rules introduced 2 years ago by the Chilean government, we had to achieve certain levels of water discharge and metal content in discharged water. And that required us to install those thickeners, which means that those environmental standards are met. As it turned out, it was a good investment because, as Klaus mentioned earlier in the call, the Chile has experienced a significant 40 or 50 year drought period. That's 40 or 50 year drought season, and we would have been scrambling for process water. As it turns out, we haven't had that problem because we've installed the thickeners, but the point I'm making is that those thickeners did not specifically have, nor did they ever, we anticipate them to have an operating cost reduction effect.
Outside of, I guess, the pressure pumps, which I guess are still at a $5 million estimate, if I'm correct.
But even though they're expansion capital, that is yet to fully see the benefit of it, because we're still not ramping up production from the old tailings. once they are fully commissioned and the monitors and then the rest of that capital investment are fully ramped up, you'll see that being paid out, paid back through increased production. And that was the final point I was going to make in terms of you looking for operating cost reduction. The best operating cost per pound produced will come from increases in volume of production.
What other major expansion capital projects are we looking at besides the pressure pumps going forward, you know, of anything like 5 million-ish or over in nature?
Well, you know, we don't have anything specific in mind right now, but you know, there's always something which may come up.
So when we ramp up to full production from the old tailings, it's possible that we may need additional grinding and additional flotation capacity, but we wanted to see that demonstrated before we made that investment.
And then on the maintenance CapEx side of it, are we still at $4 to $6 million for a maintenance level CapEx?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Okay. And then on your power costs, right now, if I understand correctly, right now they're 18 to 19 cents per kilowatt hour based on where power prices are in Chile.
Yes.
Now, when you introduce the generators, I understand heavy oil number 6 is your input. Is there a rough discount to, you know, the heavily publicized crude oil price that heavy oil number 6 trades at that we can say consistently? Is it a $20 discount or what rough discount should we use?
I can't really tell you what the discount from crude is. I can only tell you that the discount from diesel is about, but this changes also because it's all supply and demand, so it's not a fixed discount, but it is approximately in the 60% range of diesel.
Just to be clear, it's crude oil, but less refined than diesel.
Uh-huh.
Right, so it comes from.
You are familiar with the word bunker sea oil.
Right.
It's something like that. It's not exactly, but something like that.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 if you have a question. Our next question is from John Tomazos of New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Are there other opportunities to provide mining services, broadly defined, to other mining companies in Chile or to Codelco? I'm wondering if the vision of the company identifies more projects like the El Teniente tailings, but possibly in other settings.
Yeah, we have identified them.
Are there any of those sorts of projects that have revenue potential in the next couple of years?
No.
Thank you. Our next question is from Alan Arnold of New Orleans. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One final question on the power cost again. If the 130,000 tons per day is delivered, how much kilowatt hour requirement is that for a month if you had 130 uninterrupted for a month? What power would it take to process that in kilowatt hours?
You cannot answer it, you know, with one number because, as I mentioned earlier, the tailings change. Not only the grade change every month, but also the composition in terms of coarse and fine. So, you know, depending on that. But roughly, you can talk about 14 to 15 million kilowatt hours per month.
That's all I wanted, just an educated guess. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Wayne Atwell of Greenwich. Please go ahead.
Thank you. How has El Teniente been operating so far in July? Are they pretty much on schedule for capacity, or have they had some disruptions?
Yeah, they are. They are more or less normal.
And the some difficulties they had in the second quarter, was that strike-related due to labor negotiations, or what was the issue that they faced?
No, the issue was the issue came from basically from a situation last year, and we had strike situations last year, and everybody thought it was solved, but then something came up again, and what it is, it's not the El Teniente workers or the Codelco workers, but it's the workers of the subcontractors who are working for El Teniente and for the other Codelco operations. And Codelco is operating a lot with subcontractors, so, I don't know the exact number, but I think all in all it's something like 6,000 or 10,000 workers. Anyway, the problem was that they were not content with their remuneration or with their benefits, and Codelco rightfully said, well, look, this has nothing to do with us. We have a contract with the contractor, and the contractor has to work this out with his workers. But the whole thing became very political and also very violent, to the point where the union of the El Teniente workers published a public letter against this union, which was representing the contractors' workers. This strike in April and May was due to a fact that there was a political solution for it, whereby these contractors, laborers, would receive approximately $1,000 at the end of this year as sort of Christmas money. And they had originally agreed to that, and then suddenly in March or April they started saying no, we don't want that at Christmas, we want it right now. So that was what initiated that strike action.
Okay. Are there any other
very violent?
Are there any other negotiations on the horizon?
Not that I know, but how would you know when you have negotiated with somebody and said, look, okay, we agree now, you will get $1,000 at Christmas, and then suddenly they say, oh, what I negotiated, I don't care, I want it now.
I think it's a difficult question to answer for a number of reasons. One, it's not our business, it's theirs. Two, The union or the syndicate, as they call them, that have caused most trouble in the last 2 years have been the subcontractor syndicates. But the reality is that there are a number of syndicates, depending on which class of worker, whether it's electrical, whether it's underground mining, whether it's a whole different bunch of laborers, employees. These contracts are renewed from time to time, depending on which syndicate we're talking about. Now, the other syndicates haven't caused any issues in recent times, but they might, because they're renewing every 6 months, a year, or 2 years.
But it seems, again, I mean, I don't want to, you know, sound too optimistic, but there seemed to have been a change of mind even with these very extreme union leaders. Recently, there have been some movements to remove this very extreme leader and replace it with some more moderate management on the issue. But, you know, good. I mean, the positive thing is, I think, you know, these strikes recently, they were really the longest, which you normally see in Chile. When you have strikes in Chile, they usually are not, you know, very long. So that's the positive side.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to return the meeting back over to Mr. Cuda.
Thank you very much, operator. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and we'll look forward to our next call after Q3 results. Bye.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.